Well, good morning, everyone. Welcome to today's teleclass on grief relief. I'm glad you're here, and I'm looking forward to this time to share with you some principles that can help you in a time of grief. I'm Deborah Bronstadt, your grief recovery coach and facilitator for today's call, and I just want to thank you for choosing to be here. I want to welcome you on the call, whether you're here in person, on the live call, or maybe you're listening to the recording. My intention today is to provide some direction and resources to help you in dealing with grief. Today you're going to learn some keys about what needs to be addressed in order to ease your grief. Now, in other places, such as on my website, www.stagesofgriefrecovery.com, with dashes between each of the words. On my website, I talk more about the symptoms of grief and dealing with grief, and I give some day-to-day practical advice for how to ease that pain. But today is a little different. Today I'm talking about really what needs to happen as far as a process, maybe over the next several weeks or months, to help you ease the pain of grief. So today's teleclass is divided up into five sections. We're going to first start with defining our losses, the types of losses that this recovery plan will help. The second is talking briefly about our reaction to grief. Third, we'll talk about special situations that require additional help. So many times people wonder if they're going crazy when they're dealing with grief and have certain questions about do they need to be on medication. And we're going to talk about special situations where additional help may be required. And the fourth section, we're going to talk about making an inventory. We're going to look at what complicates or makes your grief process difficult. You know, people go through grief at a different, they have different experiences. For some, their reactions are rather mild. For others, it's more severe. And so we're going to talk about five different categories that affect your grief process. And those five are going to be whether you've had previous losses or not, whether you're dealing with painful memories, if there's been trauma associated with the death or the loss, regrets you might have in the relationship with the person, hurts. And then finally, our section five will talk about creating your grief recovery plan. And actually, if you take notes during section four, you will have a good start on creating your grief recovery plan. This call is being recorded so that others who want to listen but could not be here at this time will have a chance to listen. But at the end of the call, after I've presented on how you can create your personal healing plan, my plan is to turn off the recording and then open the line for questions. And I'll turn off the recording just so you have some privacy with the questions that you want to ask. So as we get started here, I invite you to get out a couple sheets of paper, a pen and a pencil, or a pencil, and you can take some notes. If a question comes to mind, be sure to write it down so that you can recall it at the end of the call. So let's start with section one, the defining our losses. When we talk about grief, you may be dealing with one or more losses due to losing someone you love to death, maybe a divorce. And while my language today may be focused more on grief from the death of someone close to you, I want you to know that most of these principles also apply to other losses, such as the loss of a home, the loss of a community, the loss of a job or career. Maybe there's a loss of health, loss of a pet, loss of trust, loss of dreams, loss of security, loss of childhood due to abuse. Maybe not even abuse, but maybe due to a divorce. What I find in most of my work with people is that there is almost never just one loss. If you're dealing with the death of a parent, for instance, you may have lost the presence of that parent in your life, but you may have also lost a particular place called home. And or if, let's say, you're going through a divorce, you've not only lost a companion in life, but the status of being married in a coupled world. Maybe you've had to move and you've lost your home. Maybe you've lost the support of a second income. What I'm saying is that it's rarely just one loss that a person is dealing with in grief. If you've lost a family member to death, you may also be contemplating the loss of that person's presence at family gatherings and holidays. There's a gap left by that person's absence. So rarely when a person experiences grief, are they simply experiencing the grief of one loss? One definition of grief is that grief is reaching out for someone who's always been there, only to discover that when you need them one more time, they are not there. How many of us wouldn't give anything to have one more conversation with our loved one? So I'd like to give you an exercise here to start with. On your piece of paper, draw a line across the top of the sheet of paper. And then fold the paper in half. So you've got a fold going across that line. And you have a fold from top to bottom of your page. Now you have two columns with a line across the top. On the left side column, at the top right, where I am today. On the right side column, the top right, where I want to be. So I'll just repeat those instructions if you're following along. I hope you're doing this with your own piece of paper. So take that piece of paper, draw a line across the top, fold the paper in half so you have a fold from top to bottom of your page with that line going across the top. And with those two columns, on the left side, you'll write where I am today, and the right side, where I want to be. And I'd like you to take a few minutes to just think about, where are you today? What are some of the feeling words or descriptive words that come to mind about where you are right now? I'll just pause to quiet for a moment to let you make some of those notes. And I don't want to pause too long because it's a little awkward if you're listening to a recording or to have this long gap of silence. But some of the words that you may have written down include words like sad, unhappy, confused, pain, disappointed, depressed, lonely, empty, longing, anxious, hurting, regretful, sorry, angry, or relieved. There's no right or wrong answer to this. You also may have written that you have peace or that you're hopeful. Just depends where you are in that process of dealing with grief. Now on the right side column, I'd like you to write down some words that describe where you want to be. Give you just a moment to write down some of those words. So again, I don't want to take too long, just because on the recording that long pause is a little awkward. But as you're thinking through where you want to be, probably you wrote down some opposite words to the ones you wrote down on the left side. So as you're thinking about when you feel more healed from the loss, you're feeling more peace, how will you describe your life? What kind of words will you use? And some examples I have might be peaceful, content, fulfilled, happy, hopeful, joyful. And one of the tricky things about this is that when you're in the midst of having lost someone that you care about, or maybe you went through a divorce that you didn't want, it may be hard to imagine that life could be different without that person. It may be hard to imagine that you'll ever recover. But I want to tell you today that even if it's hard to imagine what life will look like on the other side of the intense pain you may experience now, there is hope. There's a lot of reasons why it may be difficult to imagine life on the other side of this pain. You may not be able to imagine not having this pain, disappointment, or emptiness. It may be difficult to picture a happy and fulfilled life without your loved one. It may not even feel like it'd be okay to be happy and satisfied in the future if you believe that your happiness in the future would be dishonoring to the memory of your loved one. Today, we're going to take a first step toward creating a personal grief recovery plan by making an inventory of what exactly needs to be healed between the left column of where you are today and the right column where you want to be. We're going to break this down into several broad categories. You know, grief can be so overwhelming and confusing that our feelings get all jumbled together and they're difficult to sort out. Now, these aren't going to be the only categories as we talk about them of what needs healing, but for most people, they'll give you a good start on assessing what needs to be healed for you to move forward. And the first thing I want you to recognize is that grief is cumulative. And by this I mean that unresolved grief in the past tends to pile up and all come to the surface now that you're dealing one or more losses. But actually, the loss that actually brought you to this call that you may be dealing with most recently is probably not the only loss you've experienced. And let me give you an example from my own life. In 2005, my stepmom, who raised me, died after a very short battle with colon cancer. She had 8 weeks, the time she was diagnosed, until her death at 57 years old. In fact, everything happened so fast, we said she never actually got to battle the cancer. My stepmom raised me from the time I was 10 years old. I called her mom. My parents had divorced when I was 7, and I didn't see my real mom for several years because she lived out of state. After my stepmom died, I remember talking to one of my aunts as I was crying and saying, "Why did I have to lose another mom?" It was like all of my past pain of being a motherless child came to the surface in that moment. And there's a phenomenon of the brain that comes into play here. that you may find that in your grief, it's much easier to remember other painful times in your life. And this is really just a natural phenomenon based on the way the brain stores emotional information. When you're happy, it is much easier to remember happy memories. When you're sad, you have greater access to all the other sad memories in your life. And unfortunately, this contributes to a lot of overwhelming feelings in a season of grief. So the next exercise I'd like to take you through is to give you a moment to make some notes right now. And just to do this kind of like a bullet-pointed list. You can do it on the same piece of paper, on the back side of it. But are there previous losses in your life that are still painful when you think of them? What past memories of loss come up for you? Now, as you do this, this might be a rather intense emotional exercise, and I don't want you to get overwhelmed. So this is something you can try, that as you're jotting that list down, as the feelings come up, acknowledge inside of you that a part of you is overwhelmed. Think about these losses. And just inside your own heart, just ask that part of you if it would be willing not to overwhelm or flood you right now with emotion so you can make this list. Just say to that emotional or overwhelmed part, I'm working on a plan to make it better. Would you give me a little space right now? Would you just step back for a minute so I can write this list? This is a key to your healing. This is a first step. Making this list is in untangling the pain. So take a few moments and try to go ahead and make that list. Are there past losses that are coming up for you that are magnifying your pain right now? And I know that you may not have had enough time to answer that question fully. But if so, just jot a note of the question that you're answering so that you can come back to it later after the call. The question simply is, what other losses in the past are coming up as I try to deal with my present grief? I want to pause here for a minute and take a moment to answer an important question that many people have about dealing with the pain of grief. A big question that often comes up is, how do I know if I should talk to a counselor or if I should be on medication? And here are some general principles. If any of the following is true for you, I recommend that you find a counselor in your area. And here are just some warning signs that you probably should talk to a counselor and do that soon. One would be that your grief symptoms are so severe that you're not able to care for yourself or other people who depend on you. If your grief is so overwhelming, for instance, you're not getting to sleep at night and you're having to stay in bed during the day and other people are depending on you, maybe you need to go to work, maybe you have children you're caring for, maybe you have an elderly parent that needs you, your help. If you're not able to care for yourself or the others who depend on you, that is a signal that you should find some outside help. Another warning sign is if you're having suicidal thoughts. If you're having suicidal thoughts, call your local suicide hotline, call a counselor, call your church or clergy member, talk to someone. If, for instance, that you've had any kind of mental illness before the loss and your symptoms have been increased. That's another important time to make sure that you're under the care of a counselor. If, for example, you have a history of trauma or post-traumatic stress disorder, and you had that before this happened, I would encourage you to talk to a counselor. And the other kind of indication that you should probably talk to a counselor is that if other people close to you are suggesting you make that appointment, they may see something of concern that you're not quite able to see at this time. Now, I can't tell you whether you need to be on medication or not. Only a psychiatrist or medical doctor can make that evaluation. If your symptoms from grief are so severe that you're having difficulty caring for yourself or others you're responsible for, or you're having suicidal thoughts, you should definitely make an appointment with a therapist, psychiatrist, to get the help that you need to deal with this crisis. However, grief is the normal and natural human response to loss. Yes, it is extremely painful, but grief by itself is not a mental disorder that needs medication. In general, masking the pain of grief with medication or substances is not helpful, but only delays the healing process. So I hope you can hear my instructions on that. That when things are too severe to take care of yourself, yes, go get help. That help may include medication. If you're not sleeping, that may medication may be important for that, because sleep is so important to our body's emotional well-being. But also, grief, natural grief, is painful, and there are ways to heal. So let's talk a little bit about the healing process. One of the most natural things we do when we're dealing with grief is to remember events and conversations that we had with a person. Some of these are tender memories that make us smile, even if the tears come. However, for many people who are grieving, the memories may begin like this, and they may get triggered by all kinds of things. You know, seeing a piece of clothing in the closet, being out and about, passing a favorite restaurant, seeing something on TV that, you know, is a favorite hobby or experience of the loved one. You know, all those things can trigger those tender memories. But even though those memories may begin like this and be actually a good thing to remember, oftentimes those memories get hijacked by some regret or disappointment that we had in the relationship when it ended. For example, when I was little, I remember a positive memory of my mom making tea for us as we sat in the living room and watched the Waltons every week. But whenever I would think of that memory, immediately following that was a very troubling, unresolved memory of the day that my parents split up. Fortunately, now I can say I've resolved that memory, so this doesn't happen to me anymore like it used to, and I've been able to enjoy more of the positive memories from that time in my life before my parents' divorce. But what do you do when those troubling memories pop in and hijack your good memories? Well, take out that sheet of paper. We're going to do another exercise with just bullet points here. And as I talk about these areas that typically need to be resolved, take some notes on any memories or thoughts that come into your mind. These things that come to mind are probably related to what you need to address in your grief recovery plan. These will be key to your healing. These are those things between where you are now and where you want to be. Toward the end of the call, I'll give you an invitation to share these with me, and I'll tell you how we might work together in the future to help you restore peace in the midst of the pain. And once again, if you find emotion flooding in as you make your list, just acknowledge inside that you know your heart needs healing and that you're working on making a plan. Just ask inside, "Heart, would you be willing to step back for a few minutes so I can work on this plan without being overwhelmed?" I'll just give you a few moments to just make that bullet-pointed list. What are the painful memories that come up that hijack your good memories? Okay, so far we've talked about past losses. We've talked about painful memories that need to be healed in order for you to move past the grief. A third area that needs to be addressed is unresolved trauma. Now, you may not have been the witness to the trauma that perhaps your loved one experienced when they died, but maybe you only heard about it. However, there can still be a trauma associated with what is going on in your mind about how you imagine that they died. Pictures in your mind about what happened to them in their last days or hours. And those can be traumatic to you, even if you weren't physically present, but just heard about the situation. So some of the traumatic experiences can be your grief is related to someone who died by suicide. If you witnessed or heard about someone's death and the pictures come up in your mind. Now, it doesn't really matter whether the pictures that come up in your mind are actually based on truth or not, okay? Because it could just be what you're imagining they went through. The fact is that those pictures will bring up a really painful emotional response. And so that's still something that needs to be addressed. Whether or not you know that it's true about what happened. There may have been some kind of negative experience, such as in a nursing home or a hospital, in the days or weeks before someone died. And that experience is kind of just caught in your mind, and your mind just keeps going back to it. It's not resolved. Maybe you had an argument with someone as your last conversation with them, or there was something unpleasant that happened right before they died. Or it may have been somebody that you didn't talk to for a number of months or years, and they died with leaving some things very unresolved between you, the two of you. And again, if you witnessed or heard about an accident, you may be troubled by the pictures in your own mind. Another unresolved trauma is if there's an incident where you may have assumed responsibility for somebody's death. I know of a situation where somebody had a relative in a nursing home, and they left for a little while, and the nursing home staff actually dropped the patient, and when the family member came back from their meal and realized this was happened, and then their relative died the next day, they felt responsible that if they hadn't have left to go to lunch, this wouldn't have happened and their loved one wouldn't have died. Okay, so that can be an unresolved trauma. To resolve traumatic experiences, you need to be able to talk to someone who's trained in how to listen to your experience and help you process your feelings in a safe way. And so the next exercise for you is to, again, make a bullet-pointed list. Are there traumas that you need help to process And again, if the emotions get too overwhelming, just again, try to ask them to give you a little space. Gently let those hurting parts inside of you know that you get it. Just say to them, I get it. I know that there's a lot of pain here, that there's work we need to do. Would you just try not to flood me so I can help you? Can you just give me a little space? And it may sound kind of funny to talk to your emotions like that, but it can be very, very helpful to help you to just stay in a place where you can do the exercise without getting overwhelmed. So this may be another exercise you need to come back to. If you're listening to the recording, you can always pause it to finish the exercise and hit play again when you're ready. We're going to move on to the fourth area that stands between where you are now and where you want to be as a healed or fulfilled person. This fourth area is regrets. Most of us have some unfinished business with people in our lives. We often take for granted that we're going to be able to address it with them later. But if they die or they leave, we may find we did not get that opportunity. Sometimes in a relationship with a spouse, with a parent, with a sibling, with a friend, maybe with our own children, we agree not to talk about issues of conflict. And we find that the years go by and we've never really resolved something. In our heart of hearts, we had always hoped that one day we could deal with this issue with them. But now we know we never brought it up. As long as they were alive, there was some hope that there would maybe be a future day when we could resolve this with them. So some examples of these regrets might be your departed spouse had a dream and you were not able to fully support it. Maybe your elderly parent wanted more of your time and attention than you were able to give or more than you wanted to give. Maybe there's still something you held in your heart with a sibling or with a friend. A regret for not being there, he or she needed you. It's also possible to have regrets about not talking to them about positive things. Maybe you never got to share how much that person impacted your life or helped you at a critical time. With the finality of death, maybe a divorce, suddenly that hope of ever having that conversation is dashed. There may be things we regret in the relationship that we never got to apologize for. There may be things we never received an apology for. There may be unspoken thank yous. Now we're stuck with that unfinished business spinning around in circles in our mind and our heart with no way out. I work with my clients to listen to these stories and process them so that they do have a way out of any guilt, regret, resentment, and pain. This unfinished business can be completed even if the other person has died or no longer willing to have a relationship with you. You do not have to live in torment. Grief and the pain of grief is almost always about undelivered communication. I help my clients complete this communication so that they can move forward in healing, making peace with the regrets and the what-ifs. So I have a little exercise for you. Before we move on, again, make a bullet-pointed list of regrets that come to the surface when you think about this person in your life. If you need to, gently ask any overwhelming emotion to give you some space to work on your recovery plan. And I say gently because sometimes we have parts of us that are angry and frustrated about that emotion that overwhelms us when we're trying to focus or concentrate. But I do want to just ask you to be gentle with yourself. It's a difficult time going through grief. There's a lot of mixed emotions. So be gentle with yourself. And just asking those hurt parts to just give you a little space. So what are some of those regrets? Just bullet points. If you're listening to the recording, you can pause here. If you're on the call, you can come back to this later. We are going to move on. We've talked about previous losses that may be affecting your grief process. In review, we've talked about painful memories that may be coming up right now during this time. We've talked about unresolved trauma, and we've talked about regrets. The fifth area where our memories can get bogged down in overwhelming grief is unhealed and unresolved hurts in the relationship. And this might overlap with regrets. Regrets oftentimes have to do with places where you might feel guilty or regretful. But this area of hurts might be that somebody else did something to you that never got resolved. And so, for example, maybe you never got to have that conversation with a parent where they acknowledged how their decisions or abusive words or behavior affected you. Maybe there were some decisions your departed spouse, whether that's by death or divorce, your spouse made that affected the course of your life, and you never got to tell him or her how angry and hurt you were about them, about those decisions. Or maybe even though you told them over and over again, you never really felt heard or validated for your feelings. So there's this unresolved hurt. Maybe something happened in the past between you and a sibling or a friend that hurt or offended you, but the two of you never got to talk about it. Maybe you had a child or an adult child who died, and the last conversation you had, there were some really mean words exchanged, and you have a hurt in your heart about that. And sometimes the hurt that needs to be processed might just even be that it may affect your spiritual relationship. How did God let this happen? So there's a hurt there that needs to be processed. And when these issues are processed properly, oftentimes there's a weight lifted off of your grief. Your memories then again can come to the surface as they'll naturally do, and they won't be hijacked by resentment. When I say processed, what I mean is that you've been able to express all the feelings around these kind of memories. And you may do this with a friend or a relative or a counselor or with me as a grief coach. You may have a friend who's a good listener and knows how to ask you the critical questions that help you gain insight into your beliefs and feelings so that you can release them. If not, a counselor or grief coach might be more helpful. As a counselor and grief recovery coach, I know how to get to the root need or belief and help people release the pain so that they can gain peace and freedom around long-standing hurts. So I have another exercise for you. Part of creating your personalized grief recovery plan is to inventory those areas of unfinished business. So make your bullet point list again, of hurts that rise to the surface as we talk about that right now. And again, you might need some additional time later to complete your list. If you're on the recording, just go ahead and pause it now to complete your list. So now we're to the last section of our call today, creating your grief recovery plan. The reality is, in the exercises, if you did them with me, you have identified the key pieces, the key areas that need to be addressed to bring you from where you are today in the hurt and the sadness, in some of the overwhelming and confusing emotions, to bring you from there to the right side column of that first exercise of where you want to be, of finding peace with the past, of clearing up those regrets, those resentments, the guilt, the unfinished business. I imagine that many kinds of memories came up for you related to your grief, and I really hope you took some notes. These thoughts, images, pictures, and memories are the beginnings of your inventory. They are the very memories and experiences that are key to the healing that you want so you can move forward in the grieving process. So I invited you to make a list of bullet points for each category. I'll just review those quickly here. The first is previous losses, as grief is usually not just about one event, but it's cumulative, and other losses play into how well you're dealing with grief now. The second is painful memories. You may get triggered for a memory of someone, of an experience you had with them that's positive, but very quickly your mind goes to the unresolved hurt, regret, or resentment, or trauma. The third area is unresolved trauma. This could be an actual event experience that you witnessed, or it could be the pictures and scenes in your mind about what your loved one experienced as they died. Either way, whether it's your own imagination or it's the actual experience, the result is the same, is that you can't think about that person without that trauma being stirred up, and that needs to be addressed. The fourth area we looked at was regrets. Places where maybe you said or did something that you wish you hadn't, or that hurts is the fifth area, or maybe somebody did something to you and never apologized for it, and you never got to have that conversation where they validated your experience. Those are the five areas that come between where you are today and where you want to be. You can also answer the question, what is it that bothers you most about your loss? That's going to be the answer to that question is going to be a key to your healing. Well, what will you do to begin to heal these traumas, regrets, hurts, painful memories, or previous losses? What is your next step? We call this an action step. If you were to just listen to this call but not take action, whatever insight you gained would not end up helping you in the long run. I'd like you to take seriously this opportunity to consider an action step. Then I'd like to invite you to email me your inventory and action step. The easiest way to email would be to go to the email you received with the call-in instructions or access to this recording, and open that email and simply hit reply. That will come directly to my inbox. You can add your inventory and action step to that email and send it to me. It'd be an honor to me to read and respond to what you've written. In your email, you can also request a consultation session with me where we talk about your inventory and action step. That's a call by phone or Skype. It's about 20 minutes. There's no charge for that. But as we talk together, we'll be outlining a plan for how we might work together and help you to resolve that grief and get to the right side column. For those of you listening to the recording, another way to contact me would be to email me at deborahbronstad@gmail.com. And let me spell that out because my first name is Deborah with two B's. That's D-E-B-B-R-A, Bronstad, B-R-O-N-S-T-A-D, so one word, deborahbronstad@gmail.com. The grief recovery plan that you create today is one step. Healing from grief comes as you daily and consistently take active steps to resolve pain and that stuff between where you are and where you want to be so that you can adjust your life to that loss. At this time, I'm going to turn off the recording and unmute the line so that those of you who are with us can ask questions. I thank you for being with me on the call today. I look forward to hearing from you by email. You can also check out my website at www.stagesofgriefrecovery.com. And that's with dashes between the words. It's www.stages-of-grief-recovery.com.